You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, you. You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your daily bite-sized Broncos podcast, giving you the best insight and coverage of all things Broncos related. Very excited to be back with you guys for another episode of the show. It is hump day over here, and we hope to get you through the hump, the midday work week, wherever you're listening to it on your morning drive to work this morning, cup of coffee in hand, Locked On Broncos in your ear. Appreciate you guys. Obviously, Jennifer Pearson, thank you so much. You saying that the Locked On Broncos podcast is your morning coffee with your coffee. Appreciate that as well. So today's episode of the show, we got a variety of topics. We're going to talk about the importance of why a slot cornerback is the most important position on your team regarding what we saw at Super Bowl 53 in the NFL regular season in 2018. We're going to talk about Emmanuel Sanders' injury status going forward, a little update on him and his recovery from a torn Achilles and where he's at with his physical therapy and rehabilitation, as well as taking to Broncos Reddit for some interesting topics that Broncos country is discussing in depth over there at the subreddit for the Denver Broncos. Go to reddit.com, create an account and register, subscribe to the Broncos subreddit there. Very, very great site to be part of, as always. Love it. But I'm your host, Cody Rourke. I'm an NFL analyst. I cover the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. I'm also a columnist over at the Fan Side of Networks, predominantlyorange.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Very excited to be here with you guys once again for the show. So hey, let's not waste any time. Let's dive right into it today here on Locked On Broncos. I think one of the important things that we're going to start off with here is taking to Reddit to take a look at what Broncos fans are talking about the most. And I think one of the important things that involved with former Denver Bronco was something that Tim Tebow had mentioned. Now, Tim Tebow had the chance to get on the Pat McAfee show, which, you know, hashtag for the brand. Tim Tebow was talking about his situation, his time with Denver, and really where a lot of his struggles came in his career, especially with the Broncos. He talked about the, you know, how it became very difficult to be in Denver, to be part of the team, to be a quarterback for the team when certain people were not supportive of him as a player. He didn't really give mention to who that was. He said the media attention that he had received, all the media hype, First Take, fans everywhere. He said he couldn't really escape the media circus that was with Tim Tebow. And I think a lot of times, too, we go back to the whole Tim Tebow era with Denver. I'm very thankful for Tim Tebow. And here's why. Tim Tebow came in. He didn't complain. He got onto the playing field. He won the Broncos some games. Now, he didn't obviously evolve with that. He couldn't beat the Patriots in the playoffs. Nobody really could at that point, too. They had that two tight end punch with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, they were very effective that year, and unfortunately, the Broncos had to go on the road, and it just didn't work out for them. So I think one of the things with the Tim Tebow saga, I'm thankful for him because he was a guy that was really humble. You know, he didn't, I don't think he demanded attention. That was the thing. He just received that attention because his story and really the whole thought of, well, he can't throw the football that accurately became a huge story in the NFL, but the Broncos were somehow winning games. He was connecting with Brandon Lloyd. He was connecting with Demaryius Thomas. He was connecting with all these other guys and making the Broncos come out on top with wins and putting them into position to win games. Led several comebacks. I mean, it was Tebow mania. And that was really a big theme for the Broncos under Tim Tebow's time. But, you know, I think we all remember for him, it wasn't something that was a very great experience for him in the long run because he faced a lot of criticism. A lot of times when it came to his faith in Christianity and his ability, you know, praying and thanking God after every game and interview, people didn't like that. And really, I don't think it's our place to really judge people, you know. So what? I mean, that was Tim Tebow's thing. That's cool. But you know what? Everyone, at the end of the day, kind of separates that because of the fact that he won football games. Tim Tebow, great athlete, great human being. Did it work out in the National Football League? No, but I really think that the Broncos didn't really handle that situation the greatest. I mean, they did draft him. Josh McDaniels was part of that regime that drafted him, Demaryius Thomas. You know, the Broncos got DT out of it long term. Tim Tebow, unfortunately, didn't last that long. And you had Peyton Manning come in. And so Tim Tebow bounced around the National Football League a little bit. But more so, I think the media created that more hype and that attention that, you know, I think everyone became tired of it. And it wasn't Tim Tebow's fault. Tim Tebow was on the receiving end of that publicity, that media attention, and it was something he didn't want. You know, it was something that, you know, hey, it was cool that, you know, people wanted to interview me, talk to me about things I'm passionate about. You know, I wanted to give back, but more so, a lot of it stemmed from the Broncos asking him to change his throwing motion. So he would work on that. Videos got released of that, and that created some thing that, okay, well, Tim Tebow caved into the Broncos' demands. I think overall, anytime you ask an athlete to change who they are, that's the moment. And, you know, if it's a technique thing, if it's a mechanics thing, if you ask them to change that, that's going to set them up for some struggle. And Tim Tebow experienced that, unfortunately. You know, so Tim Tebow, I want to thank him for his time in Denver. I thought it was very interesting to talk about really what had happened. So I encourage you guys to go to the Pat McAfee Show. You can find it on the podcast app. You can find it on YouTube. And it's around the 4-minute mark where he's interviewing Tim Tebow. And they talk about his time with the Denver Broncos, what that was like, how he handled it. Great interview there from former Bronco Tim Tebow. But just got to be thankful for his time. Obviously, that was a big thing. I think another thing I want to talk about here is the Broncos had interviewed multiple candidates. Obviously, Zach Taylor, you know, a former quarterbacks coach for the LA Rams. They interviewed Brian Flores, now the head coach for the Miami Dolphins. But Bengals' new head coach, Zach Taylor, was introduced to the media, and he was asked about how the Broncos, the interviews with other teams went for him, and he said he was asked great questions. He said they're a first-class organization. The people in the room were great, and they asked great questions. He says, I thought we had a great conversation. It was a really good experience for me. So, you know, take that for what you may. I think the Broncos did their research on all the coaching candidates there, and as we kind of pointed out on yesterday's episode of the show, all the coaching candidates that the Broncos had interviewed are hired in some capacity. You know, you have Zach Taylor going on to be a head coach for the Bengals. You have Brian Flores being the head coach for the Dolphins. You have Chuck Pagano being the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Mike Munchak, one of your head coaching interview candidates, he's now your O-line coach in the Broncos organization. So I think the Broncos did their due process. They're learning from some of those mistakes. Hopefully it can translate into on-field success, but I think that was some important Broncos news to talk about at the top of the hour here. But coming up here in segment number two, one of the things I really want to talk about is where Emmanuel Sanders is at with his injury, his recovery, what that means for him going forward. Because really, I had an opportunity to talk to Smack Talk 5280 on their podcast about just the impact that Emmanuel Sanders has had for the Broncos organization. So with that, we're going to climb into that in segment number two. But before we get to that, I want to remind you guys that Adam Mattes and the Locked On Nuggets podcast, also put on by the guys over there at DenverStiffs.com, are doing a phenomenal job keeping you up to date with all NBA Nuggets related news. The Nuggets coming off of a very, very demoralizing loss to the Detroit Pistons without Jamal Murray, without Gary Harris, without Paul Millsap. They travel to Brooklyn tonight to take on the Nets. That's going to be something we're going to keep an eye on. I know I listen to Adam Mattes and Locked On Nuggets every single morning, and guess what? You should as well. Adam Mattes, Locked On Nuggets, shoot them a follow, subscribe to them as well. Emmanuel Sanders, we talked about it all throughout the show. You know, ever since his injury had occurred, I don't think we could stress it enough, just the importance of how much of an impact Emmanuel Sanders had for this Broncos offense. The moment Emmanuel Sanders got hurt, it almost seemed like the Broncos spark was gone offensively, and here's why. NFL defenses knew that, okay, the Broncos are putting out all these young guys at receiver because they don't have the veteran guy like Emmanuel Sanders, who was a complete matchup nightmare for NFL defensive coordinators. He gave defensive coordinators a headache because he could go across the field and all the way up. He can run a dig route and then turn it up into a wheel route on the opposite side of the field, make big plays happen. We saw that. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders' presence in the Steelers game was huge. Without him, I don't know if the Broncos win that game. So when he tore his Achilles in practice, that's such a tough injury to overcome. And I was talking with some people on Reddit as well, because we were going back and forth in discussion. And really, the guideline they say for a lot of people coming off ACL and Achilles injuries, which are two of the worst injuries that you could possibly have, it could be an 11-month process overall. Now, with the medical technology that we've seen, obviously there's been some major advancements over time in terms of that and orthopedic recovery, but with Emmanuel Sanders, this is a move where the Broncos can't rush him back, and I don't think he can rush himself back either. He's a competitor. He wants to get it on the field, and that's going to be a big thing. But however, going into training camp, Emmanuel Sanders is not going to be completely ready for training camp. That's going to be a huge thing for the Broncos to keep an eye on. They, you know, he's on track right now for a week one debut in the NFL regular season against whoever they may be playing. But you have to factor in, if he doesn't participate in training camp and he sits out all, obviously, preseason, there might be some time. We could see him return mid-year around week 8 after the IR designated to return, when that time frame is up for the Broncos. You know, if recovery is not on track for that and he experiences any setbacks, that might be a more realistic date. What does that mean for the Broncos as free agency approaches? I still firmly believe the Broncos have to find a way to bring in another veteran wide receiver to help out some of these young guys. What, you know, who's a guy that you could possibly bring in? You know, DeSean Jackson is a very unlikely candidate for the Broncos, but he's another element that would make them very dangerous. Now, there's some other candidates out there. John Brown, formerly of the Cardinals, you know, we'll approach that as once free agency approaches us this upcoming March. We're going to get into our free agency frenzy. We have the franchise tag saga coming up here. We're going to have you completely covered at the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But, you know, I think one of the key things is Emmanuel Sanders, his leadership inside that young wide receivers room with Coach Azani, which I talked about when Zach Azani first got in. And, you know, Emmanuel Sanders was interviewed, and essentially because him and Coach Azani, you know, kind of butted heads a little bit. And one of the biggest things is now if you go on Twitter, if you just go on social media, they have nothing but love and respect for each other. That relationship between Coach Azani and Emmanuel Sanders is absolutely huge. And a lot of it is because Coach Azani wants to make Emmanuel Sanders better, which is the absolute theme that we've seen in the National Football League right now, with Coach Fangio saying, you know, I think Von Miller can play better, and he's going to end up playing better because we're going to put him in a position to succeed. There's nothing wrong. The moment you are an NFL athlete, or any athlete for that matter, and you think you're as good as you're ever going to get, and you stop striving to be successful, you stop striving to reach a little bit higher, that's when your playing days will be limited in the National Football League, the NBA, wherever you may play. And so I think it's a great point. They have a very close bond. Emmanuel Sanders has taken Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, River Craycraft, Jordan Taylor even under his wing, and has been very monumental in their development, and it's only going to get better. But, you know, the Broncos need Emmanuel Sanders. They absolutely do. He's been a very major part of the organization, Super Bowl champion with them. He's contributed a lot to the team, and he wants to stay a Bronco going forward, but he understands the business side of things. So kind of a little injury update here on Emmanuel Sanders. If you checked him out on Instagram on his feed, his walking boot that he had for his Achilles injury is now off. That is major progress. Anytime you have an ankle injury, an Achilles injury, you know, if you have an ACL injury, the moment you can start walking without crutches, that is a major win. So for Emmanuel Sanders, him being without crutches is one small step towards his recovery back to being on the playing field. And that is absolutely something I think is necessarily important, because Emmanuel Sanders, we talked about it. The Broncos offense, the moment he went out with an injury, you know, it was a one-trick show with Philip Lindsay. NFL defenses knew that, okay, the guy that could hurt us in Emmanuel Sanders, he's gone. He's not going to be able to play. He's out. So, you know, we're okay with matching up one-on-one with some of these wide receivers. We're okay with Cortland Sutton's side of the field. We'll play press man coverage underneath or cover two, and we'll put a safety over the top of Cortland Sutton on his side of the ball, and we'll play man coverage opposite with Tim Patrick or Deshaun Hamilton. We'll be able to match up with those guys who are the tight end. You know, having Emmanuel Sanders was, if you played zone coverage, Emmanuel Sanders would always find the soft spot of your zone. He would destroy your zone coverage, and he'd make things work. And when you play him in man coverage, he's so shifty and versatile as a player that your DBs can't necessarily keep up with him. I don't think anybody could really guard him. And Chris Harris Jr. came out and had said on social media that the best wide receiver duo he's ever gone against are his teammates in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. When they were, you know, when Demaryius Thomas was a Bronco, he said those two guys were the hardest covers. And, you know, I saw it up close and personal at Broncos training camp with, you know, Chris Harris Jr. getting some coverage on Demaryius Thomas, getting some coverage run on Emmanuel Sanders. They have great battles back and forth. They're competitors. It gets chippy sometimes. That's the important thing. But on game days, they have each other's back. They're on off the field. They're all cool with one another. But I think it's super, super important to keep into consideration that Emmanuel Sanders is a much bigger part of this Broncos offense and this Broncos team than many people are giving him absolute credit for. And that's one thing that really is kind of frustrating from a standpoint, because everyone's saying, oh, well, the Broncos need to move on from Emmanuel Sanders. He hasn't done anything. If you really believe that Emmanuel Sanders hasn't done anything, I truly believe you haven't watched football. Emmanuel Sanders is the spark of this Broncos offense. And many people are saying, well, Philip Lindsay was the spark of this Broncos offense. Philip Lindsay was an energizer bunny, but the spark that made this offense really flow for the Broncos was Emmanuel Sanders. Because guess what? Him and Case Keenum, they had a lot of rapport. They had a lot of chemistry. And we all know by watching on Sundays, you have to have chemistry with your wide receivers. And Case Keenum and Emmanuel Sanders, that was a more reliable connection that we had saw consistently throughout the year in 2018. So the moment that Emmanuel Sanders went down with an injury, things drastically changed. Case Keenum had to change his approach a little bit. He had to develop a little bit more chemistry with Cortland Sutton. He had to do it with Deshaun Hamilton, who also missed a period of time due to injury. He had to rely on Tim Patrick late, who really did surprise a lot of people. Now, if you went to training camp, you saw him in preseason, you're not surprised by what Tim Patrick can do. You see a lot of what Emmanuel Sanders and Coach Azani have done with this wide receiver group in terms of leadership, coaching technique, and you can tell that these young guys were ready to be thrown into the fire. The Broncos relied on them heavily, and that was a major, major thing for them in 2018. So coming up here in segment number three, our final segment of the show, we're going to talk about why it is so important to have a great slot cover corner in the National Football League and why the Broncos have that guy and what they need to do going forward to get back to competing in the AFC, to get back to winning football, coming up in segment number three. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys, go on Twitter, please, and follow at Locked On NFL Net for all the coverage around the National Football League from every host of every Locked On NFL team's podcast on one exact social media feed. You get breaking news, you get the greatest coverage, insights, interviews. Zach Goodall of Locked On Jaguars had a big interview today with a draft prospect. Check it out over there, LockedOnJaguars.com. You get that news over there as well at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. So the Broncos have a slot cover corner, and he's one of the best in the National Football League. And really, I was debating with a lot of people over the course of the week since the Super Bowl had ended, and I even did it clear into the regular season, because so many people were saying that, well, you know, you have to have an outside cover corner. I think that helps out, but really, we saw these successful NFL teams, that the high-scoring offenses, the Chiefs, the Rams, even the Patriots. We saw these teams really capitalize on success offensively by connecting with their slot receivers, being able to match people up and get them across the field, running pick routes. Obviously, those are a big, big thing that we see consistently now in the National Football League. But let's go back to Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill would line up on the outside, but the moment he also lined up on the inside in the slot, they would match him up against guys that they knew, you know, couldn't keep up with him. And granted, he's a fast guy, but look at the Julian Edelman thing too. The Broncos have had success in the past covering Julian Edelman. Now, we saw that in the Super Bowl, the Rams really struggled with covering Julian Edelman. And this is my point too. I have no idea. This is the thing that frustrated me, was why are you matching up Aqib Talib on a guy like Julian Edelman? You can't play off coverage against Julian Edelman or any quick slot receiver, because they will get across the field. They will find that soft spot in that zone that everybody consistently talks about in the National Football League. When you play zone defense, you go against quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Those are the quarterbacks that really have a good time in terms of playing against you. They love playing against you because they know where your soft spots in the zone coverage will be. Doesn't matter if you give a too high safety look, you're going to roll a guy to the hook to curl. You're going to lower him down to the flats sometimes in situations, roll the safety to the middle third of the field. I know that's a lot I'm going into right now. I'm breaking it down in my head actually as we speak, because it's important. I'll draw a diagram up for you guys that may have questions on that. But, you know, the NFL defenses, you have to evolve against the type of talent that you're going against offensively. And Chris Harris Jr. pointed out so specifically why you need a slot cover corner. Think about when the Broncos played the Patriots. Bradley Roby had some success against Julian Edelman in the AFC Championship. Chris Harris Jr. played a lot of coverage on Julian Edelman. Let's go back to that one play. I think it was a fourth down stop where they had Julian Edelman to the right of Tom Brady. They pretty much snapped the ball. Chris Harris Jr. was in man coverage, and Julian Edelman went underneath the line of scrimmage where the offensive line is. He went across on fourth down, you know, he had a trail underneath inside leverage. Aqib Talib sniffed it out as well. Both Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib made the tackle on that play. You have to have those kind of game plans. You can't just play off coverage against Julian Edelman because you run with Rob Gronkowski, the tight ends running pick routes. You obviously have to deal with speed, quick moves, double moves. Those are harder to cover in off coverage. Off coverage is one of the hardest coverages you can play in the National Football League. Being able to play press man-to-man, you have to be able to do that against quick slot receivers. That's why it's such an important position, and I encourage Broncos fans, go back and watch some Broncos footage against the Patriots when the Broncos beat the Patriots, or when any NFL team has beaten the Patriots. They match up their slot cover corner on Julian Edelman. They're able to play press. They're able to get hands on him. That diminishes the impact that those slot receivers can have on the game. And we saw that with Super Bowl 50. Obviously, 11 catches, over 140 yards for Julian Edelman. That is unheard of. And when that kind of thing happens, you have to factor in, does your team have a slot cover corner? Well, guess what? The Broncos do. His name is Chris Harris Jr. A big reason I think the Broncos need to extend and sign him is because he deserves it. He's been the best Broncos cover corner guy for many, many years. Even over Aqib Talib, he's been the most consistent guy since Champ Bailey has come in. He's a prototype. He's a tutelage guy that learned under the mentorship of Hall of Fame cornerback for the Broncos in Champ Bailey. So that's a big thing I'm very excited about. And I hope the Broncos can re-sign Chris Harris Jr. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter. Should the Broncos re-sign Chris Harris Jr. to a contract extension, yes or no? Shoot me your info at CodyRourkeNFL. I want to hear from you guys over there as well. So as we wrap up the end of today's show, I want to remind you guys, if you have a smart speaker, to tell it to play Locked On Broncos or Locked On Nuggets or whatever podcast you like to listen to. I always say, hey, Google, play podcast Locked On Nuggets, and they always play me what Adam Ottas has cooking in the Denver Nuggets canister over there on the Locked On Nuggets podcast. But also a quick reminder to head on over to iTunes. Please leave a review of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Leave a 5-star review. Tell us why you love it and what we could do to make your listening experience even better. Feedback is always essential for growth, and guess what? Broncos country couldn't do it without you. We're already close to 10,000 downloads. We're not even six days into the new month of February. Broncos country, you guys are the absolute greatest. We do this show for you. Want to thank you guys as well. So if you leave a review and you leave your Twitter handle in that review on iTunes, you will be entered into every Locked On Broncos contest giveaway going forward. We're announcing it on Valentine's Day because we want to give back to those that we love. And you, the fans, the listeners, the supporters of the show, this is for you guys. Want to enter you guys into that contest. So leave a review on iTunes, Twitter handle. Tell us why you love the show. 5-star review preferred. And if not, how can we improve your listening experience? I'm your host, Cody Work. We will be back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Broncos.